Inland Mortgage versus Chivas Retail. Mr. Borsia.
May it please the Court, my name is Jim Borsch. I represent the defendants appellant in this case. The plaintiff seeks to do in this case what it failed to do and could not do in Georgia, and to end run the Georgia Constitution.
Oh, so what? I don't understand that. You have a very, very explicit waiver governed by Illinois law, and I don't even see the tension with the Georgia statute, right? That's just a different. Completely different procedure, and
well, actually, it was not.
I suppose if you're going to do business in Georgia, real estate, you want to have guarantors, right?
Well,
protect yourself.
There is no explicit waiver here. The waiver does not include any reference to the Georgia confirmation statute. In this case, the plaintiff is the one who chose Georgia.
I don't understand. This waiver is extremely broad. The guarantee is extremely broad. I don't see why. You can find a carve-out for Georgia confirmation proceedings.
Well, there's no reference to the Georgia statute. And the plaintiff is the one who chose Georgia. This was Georgia property. The plaintiff chose to go to Georgia.
Why should it be? I don't understand. Suppose you just have a blanket guarantee. There's a default on this debt. You pay me, right? You wouldn't have to say Georgia. You wouldn't have to say anything. I have one sentence.
They didn't do that here. What they did is they chose because they wanted the property. They chose to go to Georgia. They chose to do a non-judicial foreclosure sale in Georgia. They enacted Georgia law in doing that. And then when they had their property taken by their low-ball bid, then they further went and sued my clients in Georgia to get that confirmation sale confirmed. They chose Georgia law. They lost.
Yeah, they appealed and they had the guarantee to fall back on, right?
Because they, at that point in time, they chose Georgia law.
They had two options. One was the confirmation. The other was the guarantee. They try one. Doesn't work. So they fall back on their guarantee. What is more common than that?
The problem
you don't
is,
turn
Judge,
to your guarantor until there's something that has to be guaranteed.
Once they chose that,
I don't understand. What is the basis for that? How would you have drafted this guarantee? You see, the guarantee would have to say, well, we're going to go to Georgia, and if we... I mean, the whole point of the guarantee is if they strike out on other efforts to collect the debt. Look, the guarantors are not the debtor. You have a debtor. You're not sure you can collect from the debtor. So you line up a bunch of guarantors, and you compensate them for guaranteeing you if you strike out against the debtor.
The problem is there's no debt here. The problem is they chose the Georgia statute. They chose.
There's no debt. There's
no debt. Under the logic that you're using, Your Honor, we could pay them the full amount, and they could have sued us, and they'd have said, "Well, you still owe us," and we just said, "Well, we paid you," and they said, "Well, look at the guarantee. You waived all your defenses." It makes no sense. The problem here is.
But wait a second. You only enforce a guarantee when you haven't been paid by.
And they
the
have
debtor.
Been paid. They have been paid. The problem is. They lowballed the credit bid. They took the property back. The Georgia court says...
Start over. You'll have to be a lot clearer. Okay. So they... They got the property back, yes?
At a non-judicial...
Well, how much were they owed?
I think about $20-some million. So they bid $7 million. Georgia court said that wasn't fair market value. So we don't know what fair market value was. They could actually be overpaid, depending on what the value of the property is.
Lost me completely.
Wasn't the full value of the whole transaction? This was supposed to be a Walmart build,
right.
And then it was going to be $59 million.
Right, but not everything was... Right.
Yeah, well, somehow or other, Walmart backed out.
Correct.
Nobody sued Walmart, I guess, so they must have had some backout ability,
yes.
Which is pretty major.
Yes.
Suddenly, all this idea of what everybody knows about a Walmart, that everything grows around it and it takes a lot of to build and costs and everything else. Now you just got a piece of real estate. I suppose there were some improvements and other things. And so they do a credit bid. nobody else bids. That's why they lowball it. Right. You know, if you don't have somebody else bidding it up, that's what they can get away with. And then they enforce the guarantee. And the guarantee does say it's under Illinois law.
Problem is, but they chose Georgia.
I know, but that's...
But, and the problem here is they could have sued us here initially. If they had not gone for the property, they could have brought the suit. We'd have no defense to that. The problem is they took the property back. And under Georgia law, when you do that, you have to pay fair market value. If you don't, you can't collect a deficiency. If you look at their briefs here, they're arguing this is not a deficiency case.
Okay, so they paid $7 million, and they got the property back. And are you saying the property is... that they haven't lost anything because the property is worth so much more than $7 million?
Absolutely. The Georgia court found it was worth more. The Georgia court said,
more.
We don't know.
And why didn't you present evidence?
We did. Well, we did. We presented
evidence. What's your evidence as to the value of the property?
We presented it in Georgia, and the Georgia...
To answer my question, I'm not sure. What is your evidence as to the current, or whatever the relevant time is, the value of that property?
I'm not sure, Your Honor, but the evidence was...
You're not sure.
I asked you,
what is the evidence? If there's no evidence, say no evidence.
There was evidence. It was presented in Georgia, and the Georgia court found...
Those findings by the Georgia court are an embarrassment to any judicial system in the world. Now, what is... All they did is rubber stamp. They don't like mortgagees in Georgia, okay? Now, what is the evidence of the value of that property? You say it's more than $7 million. The Georgia court, from all you can tell is that it might have been worth $7 million and one penny, right? Now, what's the evidence it's worth more than that?
Their ruling.
No, their ruling would be the same if it's 1 cent more or if it's $100 million more.
Right, and the problem is...
So how do we know it's more than $7 million and 1 cent?
We don't know that. We also don't know it's not
worth
$100
million. If we don't know that, what's your basis for thinking that the firm with a guarantee hasn't lost anything?
They haven't because they haven't proven it. And the problem is they had the opportunity to judge. They had the same what they bid at the credit bid. They chose what they bid. They chose not to bid fair market value. I don't agree it's an embarrassment. The ruling is they found...
It's your idea that if, in fact, they lost $10 million... But actually, the value of the property was not $7 million. It was $7 million and 1 cent. Their guarantee is worthless. That's your position.
Correct. And in the Georgia law that they chose to invoke...
That's an absurd interpretation.
No less absurd than...
Don't interrupt me. That's an absurd... Is that not... I'll put in this question. An absurd interpretation of the guarantee, because it drives an immense hole through the guarantee, puts the recipient of the guarantee at the mercy of this Georgia statute.
It doesn't, because they could have come here first. They could have sued us here first.
What difference does it make whether first or second?
Because then they get the property. And it's no more embarrassment. Let's say the property's worth $100 million. It's an embarrassment that they get to get not only a property worth $100 million, but also now we have to pay them on top of that. And the problem is they chose the bid amount. They chose what to bid. They lowballed their bid. And they have to be hit the consequences of that.
I don't know why somebody would
write this kind of and sign this kind of a guarantee. This open-ended guarantee is this sort of airtight. You owe it if this doesn't work. I don't understand what the motive, other than this was such a sure thing that this guarantee was just paper.
But the guarantee does say in the beginning, to the extent permitted by law.
It's what?
To the extent permitted by law.
Yeah.
Georgia law doesn't allow them to do this. This is the law they chose to go down.
Well,
and then the problem is, their case is pregnant with the idea of, we have a reduction of $7 million. And they put that in this case. This is a deficiency case. No doubt about it. This is a deficiency. They put that in the case.
And that $7 has been found to be inadequate. And they can't undo it now.
What's the deficiency?
This is what their deficiency.
What's the amount of the deficiency?
They're claiming $19 million.
How much?
$19
million. Yeah, the whole.
But they're using the $7 million as a subtraction. Right. And the problem is, Georgia Court of Appeals said that wasn't fair.
Well, it should have been the whole thing, you think, at least.
Absolutely. And that's the law. And they could have come here first and sued us. But they wanted the property. And you can't have your taking it. You can't lowball the credit bid, take the property back, and then say, we also now want to sue you in a different state after we lost in Georgia. They named us in Georgia. They lost there. Isn't it odd they come here after that and say, let's try to end run Georgia and come to Illinois?
I suppose it is. It's odd. The guarantee is odd to me, and maybe the guarantee should have said Georgia law.
Well, the property deed does say Georgia law.
No, I talk about the guarantee.
The guarantee does say Illinois. But you can't invoke another state's law, which they did here, come back and say, well, now, we didn't like the result in Georgia that we invoked.
That's, of course, not what they're saying. They're saying they have a guarantee, very broad, enforceable under Illinois law, and you have no defense.
And I want to ask, why did they enact the confirmation procedure? Why? There's no need to. If that was correct, they could have come here after foreclosing and asked for the guarantee view. It's a waste. So in other words, they go through the procedure, they lose, and there's no repercussions. None. It makes no sense. They knew they had to get the confirmation once they did the non-judicial foreclosure. They knew that. That's why they did what they did. And to say now, you can go to Georgia, lose in the trial court, lose on appeal, and come up here, that's not the way it works. They chose the Georgia venue. We didn't. They did. And when you do that, you're bound by the results. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Borsvia. Mr. Hardy?
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. I'm just going to briefly go over some of the points. I mean, basically, the district court here had two issues that it resolved in our favor in making its judgment. And those were, first, that under Illinois law, this guarantee, which is governed by Illinois law, waived any defense to the guarantor's liability. And that would include any defense based on the manner in which the sale was conducted, the price.
Well, what your opponent is saying, to put it in its simplest form, is that you have land worth at least $7 million. You got land at least $7 million, asking for another 19. But they say, well, for all we know, for all anybody knows, that land you got for $7 million is actually worth $26 million. And so you have been completely reimbursed by the debtor. And so the guarantee isn't triggered. Isn't that what they're saying?
I think that's sort of what they're saying. I think they're saying that we somehow are going to be reap a windfall,
right,
if we're allowed to collect on the guarantee. But the problem with that argument is that nobody knows what the property is worth today. There's nothing in the record below. They never, try to establish that to the district court. And in fact, I'm not sure they really brought this argument to the district court as fully as they made it in their reply brief.
Your client, I guess, bid $7 million, right?
That's correct.
So it must have been worth that.
Right. And then that was based on an appraisal.
It was?
Yeah, that my client received, and they based their credit bid on that appraisal and the issue in the Georgia Confirmation Court.
Where is that appraisal?
I'm sorry?
Is that appraisal in the record?
It is not. The Georgia Confirmation Court essentially felt that appraisal, was too low.
They thought it was too low. What was the evidence?
I'm not totally sure what the evidence was at the Georgia Confirmation
Court. There was some evidence before the Georgia court that some other appraisal, maybe?
I think it was competing valuation testimony, whether that was an actual appraisal or something else.
Record? Is there a record in
there? There is not a record.
There's no record?
Not below. And the reason, Your Honor, why...
Was there a hearing?
In the confirmation proceeding, or...
In the confirmation proceeding.
Yes, I believe there was an evidentiary-style hearing.
There's no record of it?
I'm not sure if there's a transcript. Your Honor.
It's not in this record.
It's not in this record. And the reason why is because, as the district court correctly found, the guarantors waived any defense based on you know, the our failure to realize the value or to bid the value of the property at sale.
Waived in the guarantee or waived in the proceeding?
Specifically waived in the guarantee, Your Honor.
Who came up with that guarantee?
You mean who drafted it?
Yeah.
I believe it's, you know, I'm not sure.
Whose idea was it? Or whose requirement was it or something?
Of that particular clause or the guarantee
in
general?
Well, the whole thing.
I'm sure the guarantee in general.
Illinois law, for starters.
Right. I'm sure the guarantee in general was, this is simply a state, this is a construction loan. So what you have here is a loan that's for an amount in excess of what the property is worth at the very beginning of the loan. And the expectation is that it'll become worth more.
So it's a construction loan, and there's all kinds of people that's obviously going to be involved. And so it costs a lot to build a Walmart and do other things. But for some reason, Walmart decided not to go. It may have been the economy. It may have been
a problem with the property itself? Geological.
How about an anti-Walmart protest? Was any of that going on?
No, I believe this is simply due to the economy and maybe Walmart deciding that at the present moment it didn't want to do this particular deal.
Because it just seems this is really, it's kind of crummy, actually. This is a very bad result for a lot of people. But it seems that with this guarantee on top of what would be called a low bid, it's really it's got to be some kind of a windfall. You got the property, and you got a bunch of money coming too.
Well, I would say there's no real realistic way to determine that at this point. We've had this district court case, which we filed.
We don't have anything in the record about appraisals or anything else.
Correct. We filed this district court case almost immediately after the.
I can understand why nobody else bid. You know, there's a point where somebody says they're not going to put good money after bad. It's partially improved and
correct
to only be for one purpose and that sort of thing. So.
Right, and you know the reason my clients have in their guarantee this clause that waives any defense based on the amount bid at sale.
You get a lot of clauses.
That's true, but the reason is just to protect us from this exact type of argument because it's very speculative. We're years down the line from when this sale occurred, and it's very speculative.
What do they mean? This was a foreclosure that yields the $7 million. This is a foreclosure not done under judicial process.
Correct.
What kind of process is there? I mean, what do you do?
Essentially, you notice the sale. I mean, it's as simple as that. There are statutory requirements for noticing up the sale and noticing the parties who are involved.
There is notice.
There is notice, and the guarantors are a party who are entitled to notice, and they're also a party who, if you choose to confirm the sale, are required to be named. And so they were a necessary party to the confirmation, not because their liability was going to be determined, but
so isn't the question who has the burden of proving that the land is worth more than the $7 million? Because all we know from the Georgia is that it's worth at least a penny more. So you say there's no evidence of what its actual market value is. So the question is, do you have the burden of presenting evidence that you really need the guarantee to be made whole? Or do they have to present evidence?
I think you know, at minimum, it would be their burden. But I think the issue here is not so much that. I guess what I would say is I think that's a non-issue from our perspective for holding them liable for the amount left remaining because of their waiver and their guarantee. That's a waiver.
What is waived about, non-judicial foreclosures?
Sure. Well, I'll read you the exact waiver is the amount of the debt may be reduced only by the price for which that collateral is sold at the foreclosure sale, even if the collateral is worth more than the sale price. And that's that's clause 9 in the guarantee. That's specifically governs the situation.
And then the sale price is just because there's essentially one bidder.
Correct. I mean, it's one of those things where who knows what the actual fair market value of the property is at sale. In order not to have this dispute and not to have these questions come up, this is what the parties bargained for. And
how
under Illinois,
$7 million figure pick. Do we have any idea?
Well, like I said, it was based on some appraisals that my client had done
something
prior to the sale.
So they couldn't just say it was worth a dollar or something?
Sure, they couldn't come in just with pocket change. They had a reasonable basis for it, or what they felt was a reasonable
basis.
This
is a Georgia boilerplate clause. You use them. It happens in Georgia all the time.
I'm sorry?
That happens in Georgia, this sort of arrangement?
Well, I think it's attempted in Georgia. We supplemented our brief with a recent decision that kind of mirrors this case in a lot of ways under Georgia law called HWA Properties. And in that case, sort of a similar thing happened. And essentially what the court says was under Georgia law, these kinds of waivers are enforced as well, just as they are in Illinois.
This the Walmart, I mean, it was all based on Walmart. This is speculation about what happened with Walmart.
Correct.
Right.
I think it's just the market. I mean, it has nothing to do with either party, the fault of either party. It's just the way things were. As someone suggested, it might have just been some contractual opt-out they had, and that may well be the case. So, I mean, just to sum up, I mean, the other important point, I think, is just that the Georgia confirmation statute, while it does require guarantors to be named as parties, is extremely limited in what it can actually decide. It can only decide the amount, the fair sale price for the property, whether the sale price bid is fair, and whether all the notice procedures and other procedures were followed. Other than that, the Georgia courts have said you cannot seek to inject other issues, such as guarantor liability, into the proceeding. And you also can't later assert the confirmation proceeding's result as preclusive of someone's liability. So in other words, if a guarantor later is defending a case and asserting the result of a confirmation proceeding, that is not preclusive of their liability under their guarantee. It simply may be a fact as to whether there's a precondition to their liability has been met or not. And in this case, the guarantor is expressly waived out of the Georgia confirmation proceeding being a precondition of their liability. They opted to be liable no matter what. And so essentially all the district court did in this case was enforce the terms of the guarantee as written. And if you have no other questions.
Well, when it gets down to the sale, it's whether or not it's the fair market value, some use the word commercially reasonable sale.
Right.
As one that had enough people to determine the value and that was commercially reasonable. And an appraisal could well include the cost of putting the property back where it was before whatever improvements were made, which would may cost amount we're talking about, $1 million or something.
Right. It could either clearing the land back to where it was before.
So you have this teeter-totter going on, and so you talk about a detrimental value on it. So
it's an extraordinary complicated analysis.
Yeah, it is, and this is what is really strange, but it's what the guarantee says.
Well, and that's why my client wanted that clause in there, frankly, is because it's a complicated problem that you can easily avoid through a waiver and a guarantee.
Because the value of the property really depends on future decisions by Walmart or some...
Well, in this case, that's certainly
something like that.
Right, an acre store.
It's presumably just, what, a stretch of farmland or something?
I'm not sure how far out in Fulton County it was, but I'm not sure if there is any farmland in Fulton County anymore. it may have been. It may have been. I'm not totally sure.
It's the wasteland.
Right.
Okay.
So if you have any further questions, if not, I'll yield the rest of my time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hardy. Mr. Borsia, does he have, how much time does he have? Okay, 3 minutes, that's fine.
Thank you. Just trying to make it brief. The issue of the confirmation proceeding, counsel said it was limited. It's not limited in terms of the effect. The effect is if you don't meet the confirmation fair market value proceeding and you're found to be not paying fair market value, the debt is gone.
Mr. Hardy quoted the waiver provision, this clause 9. Seems pretty explicit, right? Even if the collateral is worth more than the sale price, that doesn't affect the guarantee.
Again, that avoids the confirmation law. The confirmation law says...
This is in the guarantee governed by Illinois law, which does... Right? I mean, why isn't that the end of the case?
Because they went to Georgia...
I know, but how does that affect the clause, the fact they go to Georgia?
They invoke Georgia law doing that, and when they do that...
But are you saying that by going to Georgia, they rescinded the guarantee?
They invoke Georgia law.
Well, now answer my question. Is it your view that by asking for confirmation in Georgia, which of course would be governed by Georgia law, They rescinded the guarantee?
They didn't rescind the guarantee, but if they lost the confirmation proceeding, they're out. And that's what happened. The confirmation proceeding has to, if it is not confirmed, what Georgia's law says is there is no more debt. You can't sue on the debt anymore. And they don't want banks doing what happened here, lowballing credit bids and then trying to hold up debtors by saying, we're going to get your property.
So you're saying they really gambled. they made their guarantee dependent on what Georgia would do in the confirmation proceeding.
But they didn't have to go to...
Wait, don't look. If I ask you a question, you answer my question.
Correct.
Right? That's
correct.
What they did, in effect. They gambled because
right.
their guarantee would be worthless if they lost the confirmation case.
Correct.
That's right.
And again, they didn't have to go to the confirmation. They could have come here first and not taken the land back.
Yeah.
But so the issue that one of you raised is, was there a record below in terms of in Georgia? There was a record below. There was a full proceeding below. There was evidence taken on both sides. And we know what the court found. The court found they did not pay fair market value.
Anything in the record about the actual value of this property?
Not in this record. In Georgia, there is.
Why don't you put in some other? What do you mean in Georgia? If it's in a Georgia record, why can't you put it in a district court record here?
Well, because we don't have to litigate here because they've already found that there.
Wait, I don't understand you. If there is evidence somewhere in the world about the value of this property, why isn't it in the record of this case?
Because estoppel shows in Georgia they've litigated that there.
That's not my question. So what you're saying is you're so comfortable with your legal arguments that you've never made any attempt to show what this property is actually worth.
Well, I think what we did show is the Georgia court found it was not fair market value.
We don't have any information about how much the market value exceeds that $7 million.
I understand that, Judge, but I don't think it's our job here to do that. Because what happens is they had the obligation in Georgia to produce the evidence, and they lost. And we're not relitigating that issue here. That issue has been decided to a final judgment. They appealed it.
The Georgia court thought the market value was only a few dollars above $7 million. That's what's so disturbing about this.
I agree with you, but we don't know whether it was a few dollars more or $100 million more.
Well,
but that's their obligation. They're the plaintiff. They had the burden of proof in Georgia. And they lost.
Not in Georgia.
And they chose that path, and they lost.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. Our next case is Bates versus Colvin.